this section in Nehemiah to see what popped up. Because there's a lot of things that are touchy in life. They say you don't want to ever bring up whenever you are sitting around with family at a holiday or you're having a meal with somebody. And that is religion, which we forget about that because we bring that up every day, right? Every time we meet. Politics and money. Those three things are all very sensitive, aren't they? Because interestingly enough, they really affect our lives and they really hit us kind of deep. But of course, as we go along here, we are coming to this idea of debt here in the book of Nehemiah, of all things, right? Nehemiah, ancient writing, long time ago, all this stuff happened. And guess what? Debt was still a topic. Money was still a topic. And it was still very sensitive. As we all know, debt can really put you in a bind, can't it? It can really get you up in knots and maybe in some cases kind of put you in a bad position. I read this story. It's one of those, as they say, a preacher's story. In other words, fake. about this guy who owed over $100,000. And unfortunately, he didn't owe it to Capital One or some bank, reputable bank. He owed it to a collector, a bad kind of collector. So one day he's sitting out on his porch and he sees from far off a couple of thugs walking down the road. Of course, he's like thinking, oh man, I owe a lot of money. I wonder if they're coming for me. So he immediately gets up and he runs in the house, finds his young son. He says, all right, son, he's breathing really hard. I need you to do something very important for me. There's some men that are going to come up and they're going to be looking for me. I need you to tell them that I am out of town. I'm visiting your sick grandmother. Do you understand? He says, yeah, I could do that, Dad. So he walks out. The man hides behind the cabinet in the living room. And his son goes out there. And the two thugs come up. And they say, boy, where's your dad? Oh, he's out of town. He's visiting my sick grandmother. Don't you lie to us, boy. When is your dad supposed to get back? And they are very intimidating. They scare this little boy, and he's not sure what to say because his dad didn't tell him that part. So he immediately turns off, runs back in the house, and yells, Dad, when are you supposed to get back? Debt can really get us into some bad situations in life. They can put us in situations that are kind of scary. And they affect not just ourselves, but our families and sometimes even our friends and even our communities. As we have learned, there is a lot going on for Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Jews. Beyond the fact that they had to move back into town, they have had to struggle with enemies trying to kill them. They've had to work day and night rebuilding the city, its temple, and the walls. They have had to protect themselves throughout all of this and fight with one hand and work with the other. As families, as men, as women, as children, they've all been doing this. And amongst all of that, they've had to dispel these rumors that are going around about these Jews that are rebuilding the city to fight, to rebel against the kingdom of Syria, of Cyrus, excuse me. And so they've got a lot going on, a lot of things happening. And beyond all of this, now Nehemiah is going to have to struggle with debt. He's going to have to battle the societal struggles of debt and everything that comes along with it. So there are several things that we'll learn today about the Jews' perception of debt. First,
debt was looked upon as a misfortune. It was a last resort. As you'll see, it was something that you only did whenever you weren't going to be able to eat. You weren't going to be able to sustain life. They reserved it for times of extreme need. And second, we will see that debt can be corrosive to the inner workings of community. There are strict laws associated with debt according to the law of Moses, according to the law that God gave his people. And perhaps because of these effects that we're about to read about, perhaps because of the ways we see that debt affects not only the individual, but also the community. So let's begin reading here in Nehemiah chapter 5. Nehemiah chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "Now the men and their wives raised a great outcry against their fellow Jews. Some were saying, 'We and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain.' Others were saying, 'We are mortgaging our fields, our vineyards, and our homes to get grain during the famine.' Still others were saying, 'We have had to borrow money to pay the king's tax on our fields and vineyards. Although we are of the same flesh and blood as our fellow Jews, and though our children are as good as theirs, yet we have to subject our sons and daughters to slavery. Some of our daughters have already been enslaved, but we are powerless because our fields and our vineyards belong to others.'" You have heard it said, this is your brain on drugs. You remember those old, I think it was in like the 90s, the early 90s, would show an egg frying in a pan. This is your brain on drugs, right? Well, this is your brain on debt. It's full of worries and doubts and concerns. It's full of worrying whether or not you're going to have enough to support your family. In this case, whether or not you're going to have enough to feed your family. Naturally, debt is a response to not having enough. In many ways, as we'll see, it's a natural response. But as we read, these people, they were just trying to survive. They were trying to stay afloat. First, as we read, they didn't have any food. They were running out quickly because there was a famine. They said they just have to get grain to stay alive. The ancient Jewish diet consisted of more than grain. It was a big part of that. But it also consisted of breads, of legumes, and some animal products. As these people cry out, they are saying that we don't even have the basics. And they're just having to resort to cooked grains. Not even the processed stuff, not even the bread that makes a nice little loaf. They are literally, as you would find if you did a little studying in this ancient time, they were literally taking these grains, they would pick them off. And they would put them in a pot, fill it with water, and boil it. And they would eat it, seasoned, like that. Sounds like a yummy, wholesome breakfast, right? But this is what they were down to. They didn't have anything else. And even this, they were having to mortgage their fields, their vineyards, and their homes just to get. So it's clear that they don't have any money either. The Persian kingdom, they enforced a 20% tax. 20% on everything you have. And then on top of that, they also enforced a religious tax on all of the religious activities. Well, you can imagine, as a Jewish community, everything revolved around religion. This tax was heavy. And so on top of the fact that they didn't have enough money to buy food, they were starving. They didn't even have enough money to pay the taxes that they owed on the fields and vineyards that they had just mortgaged. Their children were going into slavery. They were losing everything. Now, as Americans, we can relate in some way, can't we? We can relate in some way to these struggles that they're having, because especially recently, Americans have endured a lot of economic struggles over our history and even recently. The most recent mortgage downturn left people homeless. Unemployment rates were extremely high. And those that did have jobs, they were working an unprecedented number of hours just to stay afloat. And now, more than ever in our history, families have to rely on two working adults just to pay the bills. Recently, the economy has begun to recover, thankfully, praise God. Yet people still find themselves in mounds of debt. It has become an American pastime, if you will. And more than 189 million Americans have credit cards. Cards that hold money that isn't theirs. That hold money that you have to pay for. Pay for the money that you get. The total consumer U.S. debt is at $13.51 trillion. Trillion. That's a lot. And so while there was a point where our need drove us as Americans to get into debt, now, as the economy has begun to flourish and as it has gotten better and recovered, it seems that we are in this mode or habit, if you will, of accruing debt. This would have been unfathomable to the Jews. To accrue debt for no reason. Here they were going into debt because they had no food, they had no money to pay their taxes. Their houses and fields and vineyards, their way of life was owned by somebody else. But yet, as Americans, we're flocking to restaurants and shopping malls. Did you know that even though slavery was abolished in 1865, we have more slaves than ever before in our history? More people are in debt and enslaved by this. Proverbs 22, verse 7 tells us that the borrower is slave to the lender. We have become disconnected from this concept of borrowing, of what it means to borrow. And for the Jews, they understood this in a very serious way. We simply, in our life, give the plastic to the cashier, she rings us up, and we go about our merry way. But for Hebrew, to borrow meant so much more. The Hebrew word for borrow is lavah. This is the word that we read here in Proverbs 22, verse 7. It literally meant to be joined, to join oneself unto. So, while they understood this word in context to mean borrow, they viewed it as whenever you do borrow, you become joined to that person, to whoever is lending you the money. Seriously, the borrow really does become slave to the lender. So we think about this phrase or this proverb as something that's very profound, right? You know, if you think about it, yeah, I actually am slave to the lender. But for the Hebrews, they literally thought this When they heard this word, they understood it to be so. This was not just an expression of philosophy. This was a reality. In ancient times, you were literally enslaved by the lender. This is what was happening to the Jews at this point in time. This is what was happening to their children. This is what was happening to their lives. And so, while we are not enslaved by credit card companies necessarily, they don't take us to their homes and put us to work off our debt. We end up working more and more to pay off that debt. We end up sacrificing our lives, our families, our children more and more to pay off these things. And so while it's different, the principle still remains. Jews, they view debt as a last resort when nothing else could be done. We were not created for slavery. And so you can see why the Jews view debt in such a negative light, from such a negative perspective. So this personal enslavement, it all speaks to the unrest that was occurring within this community, within this community of God. And as Nehemiah will speak to, the debt can be corrosive to the society. Let's continue reading in verse 6. It says, "When I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. I pondered them in my mind and then accused the nobles and officials. I told them, 'You are charging your own people interest.' So I called together a large meeting to deal with them and said, 'As far as possible, we have bought back our fellow Jews who were sold to the Gentiles. Now you are selling your own people only for them to be sold back to us.' They kept quiet because they could find nothing to say. So I continued, 'What you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemies? I and my brothers and my men are also lending the people money and grain. But let us stop charging interest.'" Notice that. He admits he was doing this too. But he says something important. "Let us stop charging interest." Next verse, 11, says, "Give back to them immediately their fields, vineyards, olive groves, and houses, and also the interest you are charging them. 1% of the money, grain, new wine, and olive oil. We will give it back," they said, "and we will not demand anything more from them. We will do as you say." Then I summoned the priests and made the nobles and officials take an oath to do what they had promised. I also shook out the folds of my robe and said, "In this way, may God shake out their house and the possessions anyone who does not keep this promise. So may such a person be shaken out and emptied." At this, the whole assembly said, "Amen," and praised the Lord, and the people did as they had promised. Nehemiah, he speaks out against one of the most harmful cancers, really, in any community. The haves were taking advantage of the have-nots. Those who were starving, who didn't have enough money to pay their taxes, were being taken advantage of in their position. Nehemiah being one of them, of course, which he admits. But he considers this and he ponders it, as Scripture said, and then staunchly rebukes it. He rebukes the fact that they had enslaved their own people. And he does so from a very scriptural foundation. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 7 says this, If there is a poor man with you, one of your brothers in any of your towns in your land, which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart, nor close your hand from your poor brother. So notice the first part of this as we got into it. It in many ways speaks to those in need. It speaks to us who may not have everything and warns us about the perils of debt. But now as we continue on, Scripture is speaking now to those who do have, those who have plenty, and saying in many ways that you should not harden your heart to those that don't. Don't take advantage of people that are in need and starving. What you may have noticed is that Nehemiah nor God have any problem with people borrowing or lending money. Hear me say that. God nor Nehemiah did not have a problem with the concept of borrowing money. They warn against the perils of it and the enslavement that can occur because of it. And of course, the oppression that was occurring due to it. But they're not saying that you shouldn't borrow money. Instead, the problem is their approach to it. If the nobles had done anything wrong, it was the fact that they had taken advantage of someone else's hardship. In Deuteronomy, if you had turned over there, Moses tells them not to harden their hearts or close their hand. And he later says in verse 11, there will always be some in the land who are poor. There's always going to be poor people. Those that have, in this case, many Americans, we've got to have a soft heart towards these people who need. We can't take advantage of them, build an empire from the wealth that we accrue from these poorer people. Hopefully, we are not allowing that to happen to ourselves. Somebody else building an empire because of these things. So, as we look back, we're talking about this concept of debt, of course. And as I mentioned from the very beginning, debt, money, it can be a very touchy subject. And the law speaks very specifically about it. If you ever get a chance, read through Deuteronomy. There in chapter 15, you find some, and you can find references throughout the book of Leviticus as well. Numbers. God talks about all this in the law. And so am I asking you to follow the law? No, absolutely not. I would not want us to go back to the law because we have a new covenant in Christ. But on the other hand, the law has a way of revealing God's ways to us. It reveals principles of his understanding. And there are many things to be learned here in the book of Nehemiah as they followed the law. One, debt, it's not to be taken lightly. It is something that causes us to be joined to another. We should be joined to our spouse. We should be joined to our community of believers. We should be joined to our families and friends. We should be joined to God himself. But to be joined for no reason to a lender, that's another story, isn't it? These are things that we should be mindful of because herein lies the principle. Debt should not be taken lightly. And secondly, as we've already discussed, debt can destroy communities. Mankind has always struggled with oppression, and ultimately, this is what is at risk. when people have and others don't have. Ultimately, as human beings, we struggle with this idea. And so we need to know that whatever position we're in, we should soften our hearts. We should be mindful of those in need. Giving money to the needy for gain, it can lead to destruction. God is not an oppressor. In fact, God liberates us. He lifts the oppression of sin for our well-being, for our sake. Christ was sent so that we could be free, so that we could be saved from this debt of sin. Here, Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 14 reminds us that Christ paid the ultimate debt. It says, "And when you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us and which was hostile to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Wherever you are, whether you are financially free and in a position of comfort and peace, or you feel bound by the toils of work and money and debt, I want you to know that Christ is here with you. He can help you overcome those things, along with anything else, because he's already helped you overcome the greatest debt, and that is the debt of our sin. If you need prayers, if you need Christ, if you need God to help you in your struggles, if you just want to be reminded of his blessings, now's the time. You come forward as we stand and sing.
Just as I am.